In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, many women, in an effort to feel liberated, have rejected femininity and the mystique of womanhood in order to be considered in all ways equal to men. They've cast aside the precious gift of their chastity in order to become desirable to lustful males who view them merely as objects of pleasure. How tragic and how foolish. In his book, Every Young Woman's Battle, Stephen Arterburn writes that many young men use young women for their own carnal pleasure. By telling them lies, they manipulate and pressure these young women, playing upon their emotions so that they will give in. These lustful young men do not view women as people, but as toys for their use and enjoyment. They have no consideration as to what these young ladies may be feeling or thinking. These immoral persons think only of pleasing themselves and instant gratification. In addition, they talk about the girls who do or do not give in, ruining their reputations. Our secular and self-centered society does not value virginity and purity. In their wild pursuit for forbidden pleasures, many men, young women, young men and boys have become addicted to sins of lust. Many Christians have abandoned what they know to be right as taught by Jesus and convinced themselves that it's okay to take advantage of females who are just as promiscuous as they. In many cases, these young men would never consider marrying such loose females. My dearly beloved in Christ, Stephen Arterburn stated, "Sadly, the internet, television, movies, and advertising have made women seem more like objects than ever before. Men have gone from feeding their sexual obsessions with young women to feeding them with sexual images anywhere and everywhere. Billboards, indecent ads, and swimsuit special editions, over 2 million porn sites and immoral movies and television shows. They've become hooked on images, counterfeits of the real thing. Everywhere they look, they see women as objects of gratification. More men than ever are looking at women as objects to be used for their own sinful pleasure. For every man, it's a battle just to view women in the proper light. For many, it's a battle of a lifetime. The more a guy sees and experiences pornography and other sexually explicit images, the more he wants. It's normal, and it's not hurting anyone," he says, as his focus shifts away from the real women in his life and more to the unreal world of sexual gratification at any cost. Many husbands, even Christian husbands, regularly enter a private world of sexual pleasure and shame. For many, intimacy inside of marriage is no longer enough because they've become hooked on sex as conceived by our wayward culture. Men are targeted by advertisers who take full advantage of people's moral corruption to making seductive TV commercials, movie previews, and indecent snares on the internet to trap the unwary. These are strong sources of temptation and have led to the loss of countless souls. How many souls are enslaved to habitual mortal sin against purity? The number of sins accumulates because the lust of the flesh is never satisfied and demands more and more satisfaction, even to the point of perversity. My dearly beloved in Christ, lust breeds the worst kind of selfishness. The soul enslaved to lust is willing to sacrifice everything, even salvation, in order to satisfy his disordered passions. His will becomes like jelly, and his reason a slave to his sinful desires. On the other hand, the virtue of chastity elevates our soul and frees us to live a good life. The chaste person exercises self-control, self-discipline, and experiences inward joy and peace. This is why a man wants for his wife a woman who is pure, and why chaste women are so grateful when they find a man who's not trying to see how far he can go, but rather respects her as a human being, a friend, and a lady. A true follower of Christ will successfully battle every day to preserve his chastity and modesty because faith imparts an inspired reverence for the body. As Catholics, we should never forget that our body is indeed a temple of the Holy Ghost if we're in the state of grace. While women are stimulated by what they hear and feel and are driven by their emotional desires, men are stimulated by what they see and are driven by their physical desires. Therefore, men, young men, and boys must carefully guard their mind, heart, and eyes in order to avoid sins against purity and preserve their chastity. Many of our body's responses are activated by the autonomic nervous system that's not controlled by the will, but rather by the environment. There are automatic reactions and responses to our sense appetites. They can take on a life of their own and assume a dangerously independent role with respect to reason. Hence, impure temptations can arise from what we see and what we hear, all of which trigger the brain, which in turn affects the body. My dearly beloved in Christ, this process is particularly strong in males because they are created by God to be visually stimulated. This is why it's sinful for females to wear indecent, revealing clothing, because she triggers this arousal process in men, young men and boys, who see her. It automatically happens, not because they want it, because this is the way God made them. Someone will say, then don't look. This is a very selfish statement and attitude. We must not make purity difficult for others by our manner of dressing, speaking, and acting. In most cases, the major test for salvation required of males regards guarding their eyes, mind, and heart from sin, especially lust. In most cases, a major test of salvation required of females regards overcoming vanity by dressing and acting modestly. When confronted with visual temptation, it's very difficult for males to make a decision to remain pure because we have within us a strong inclination to sin, especially to sins of lust. It's only with the help of God's grace and with great effort that men, young men, and boys can turn their eyes away, but we must do so. We must pray immediately and run from the danger. Our Lord said, anyone who so much as looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Fornication and adultery are mortal sins, and even one unrepented mortal sin will send a person to hell forever. Therefore, why would a woman want to tempt a man to lust after her by dressing in an indecent and undignified manner, since this sin could condemn him to hell, and since she is partially responsible for his sin? Not only men, but also women have a grave responsibility to uphold chastity in this regard. My dearly beloved in Christ, in order to remain pure, custody of the eyes is essential. It's an unflattering fact that a male's mind can quickly turn to carnal desires even when not expecting it. As a result, men, young men, and boys continually struggle with carnal temptations, something easily stimulated by the indecently dressed females whom they happen to see. Since we are surrounded by numerous visual occasions of sin, we must carefully guard our eyes from evil, since they are the windows of the soul. The evangelists record that at times Jesus raised his eyes, indicating that he customarily kept them downcast. St. Bernard said, downcast eyes direct the heart to heaven. By avoiding bad music and bad companions, we will guard our heart from evil. indecent speech, and dirty jokes. St. Jerome said, keep away from those situations where you must either conquer or die. Who would ever lie down to sleep close to a venomous viper, which he, if he bite him not, will surely keep him in constant fear of its poisoned fangs? Is it not far better to secure oneself against perishing by keeping out of danger than by a lucky chance not to perish when on the very edge of a cliff? St. Jerome stated there are two ways of gaining the victory over temptation: the shield and our feet. In other words, we conquer when we pray and run. Our spiritual shield is prayer, frequent reception of the sacrament, self-denial, custody of the eyes, and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We must use our feet and run from danger by avoiding occasions of sin, especially pornography, bad movies and television, alcohol and drug abuse, and bad companions. We must recognize triggers, the times when we're most vulnerable, such as idleness and depression, and the things that set us off and easily lead us into sin. If we guard against such triggers, we can obtain the moral courage, strength, and willpower to overcome temptations to lust and observe the sixth and ninth commandments. We can replace bad music with good music, dangerous reading with good reading, bad thoughts with good thoughts, and healthy exercise as an outlet. My dearly beloved in Christ, the salvation of our immortal soul is a pearl of great price. If we go to heaven, we must pray and we must make sacrifices. It's worth the price. It's your choice. Heaven or hell. Happiness without end or everlasting suffering. I'll close with a story. St. Philip Neri used to say that Holy Communion and devotion to Our Lady were the only means for a young man to remain good and pure. The rosary and devotion to Mary protects us from sinning. A student who was addicted to impure sins went to consult the saint, who made him return again and again to confession after his falls, and then to Holy Communion. And by this frequent reception of the sacraments, always carefully received, the young man was at length cured of his evil habit, and in time was thought fit even to be promoted to the priesthood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.